Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglio along with Mario Harraz, running things behind the scenes. And on our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, out in California, Deuce McAllister. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us. There wasn't any fights in this this pajama and slipper walkthrough today, right?
Nah, no fights in your walkthrough. I mean, it's basically, hey, you know, what can you correct? And that's basically it. I mean, short and sweet in that aspect of it.
Deuce, probably more than any of us around, you could address the knee injury. You've had more than a couple throughout your football career. But the sprained MCL with Alvin Kamara, and we all know as you get older, it sometimes takes a little longer to come back from an injury. I talked to a couple of orthopedic doctors today that told me normal time frame is 4 to 5 weeks. Now, some guys heal up a little bit quicker than others, but from your experience to have the knee injury, your thoughts on the MCL injury to Alvin?
Yeah, unfortunate, because like I said, it was talked about it yesterday, and it was an injury that his teammate kind of rolled him up. And so Alvin is about to take on a linebacker in the hole, and Malik kind of gets blocked into Alvin. And so Alvin doesn't see him. I mean, he doesn't see him because he gets hit from the side. He doesn't go down, but he feels it. And so you can see him kind of limp a little bit, and he jogged a little bit, walked, and, you know, he walks with the trainer to the little tent over there to get checked out. I mean, but it was before then. He had a couple of nice runs and had a really good, you know, scrimmage or whatever we want to call it up until that point. And like you talked about, I mean, each person is different. And the thing with the injury, it's not so much going forward, because he'll be able to run forward. That won't be the issue. The issue will be planning. The issue will be stopping and starting. And how does he feel doing that? And so, you know, whether it's 4 to 5 weeks, I've seen guys come back 2 to 4 weeks. I mean, the one thing that you don't want to do is kind of rush back so soon where it's still bothering you throughout the year. And so for Alvin, you know, he'll get a couple of different opinions on how he wants to attack it and try to get himself ready to play, you know, and just make sure that it is something that doesn't continue to linger for him. And so, you know, we looked at what Kendre was able to do with his ACL injury, and, you know, even yesterday being able to go out there not having a brace on, not having a sleeve or anything like that on, you know, that just tells you about the work that he was able to put in. And, you know, I expect Alvin to kind of do something similar as well, as far as the work to get himself ready to go and be able to play, you know, whatever that timeline may be.
You brought it up. I was going to ask you about it because, you know, far early on, I told this to Bob, man, Kendra Miller, I mean, from just a pure talent standpoint, I mean, he's got it, and at a high level. I did not know that he could come back this quickly from the injury and look this good. Then he gets banged up, and I think you and I saw it. I think he was in pass protection. He kind of got run over, and that's when he hurt, I think it was his hip. But it opens the door for Kendra and also Devin Neal. That, hey, you got an opportunity here, and we all kind of thought maybe Audric Estime is the number three guy. And he may still be that way, but now he's fighting an injury. It opens the door again for Kendra and Devin Neal.
Yeah, it definitely opens the door back up for him. And, you know, I still felt like that the door was open, except now, you know, it's really probably for both of those guys. I mean, and so for the Saints, they'll do their due diligence. So I wouldn't be surprised one bit if they don't bring another back into that bowl. And when I say that, you know, particularly a veteran back, and say, hey, you know, we'll give you this opportunity, but we prefer to go with the younger guys that we have here that know the system and kind of understand it. I mean, because at the end of the day, you're going to have guys that are healthy. You know, I expect Estime to be able to kind of, you know, we hadn't heard the high ankle sprain, so we're just figuring that it's just an ankle sprain and not a high ankle sprain. So you figure, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he should be fine and ready to go. But, you know, with Devin, he's kind of dealt with injury, and Kendre has dealt with injury as far as his back was concerned. And you know, even yesterday he looked pretty good. He and both Devin looked good running the ball. Kendrick was probably running a little high, you know, on some of those carries. But, you know, nonetheless, he's out there. And you know that you're going to get 4 to 5 yards with him being able to run the ball. The question is now, not having Alvin potentially for that first week, from a roster standpoint, carrying four backs. I mean, you know, is that something that they feel like that they have to do? And which four will they be? And you talk about, all right, your initial 53, if Alvin is going to make it, you know, do you sit him out or put him on injury reserve? And now he's out an additional couple of weeks. I mean, because, like, all right, today you've got 2 weeks technically, or right around 2.5 weeks until your first game in September, maybe a little longer. So, you know, theoretically, if it is truly 4 weeks, you could probably get Alvin back for that second game, you know, against Baltimore. But, you know, we'll see kind of how that rehab process is going for him and, you know, what he's able to do, if anything, prior to. And they can kind of make that evaluation of where those other guys are. You know, hopefully they don't have another episode as far as injuries are concerned. And, you know, you can try to make that evaluation.
Deuce, from what you talked about yesterday, from what I was able to read and see, man, Tyler Shuck yesterday, he was cooking with hot, you know, he cooking that fried fish in hot grease. Man, he got hot. And Chris Olave, a big part of that in that target, but he threw a pass to Noah Fant right over the top of the defender. That was so sweet to see. But talk a little bit about yesterday and just how hot. And I brought this up to Bob about, you know, a lot of times with quarterbacks, they have to almost be put in a game situation. Some are great in practice. Some are good to very good. Some don't play well in practice. You got to put them in a game situation. But yesterday, what Shuck was throwing and his connection to Chris Olave, but that throw to Noah Fant was sweet, right over the top of that defender.
Yeah, and it was kind of a corner route when you talk about the Noah Fant. They were in the red zone, and it was the ball placement was outstanding. You know, it was interesting because the push that the defender, it was similar to what Tyson got, how Tyson got pushed on the sideline. And so, you know, Noah was able to continue to run and kind of braced himself. There was a heel, or I don't even know what you call it, right there on the sideline, but he was able to brace himself and run up it and kind of roll after that. But it was really a really good throw, and that's just a placement throw, and hey, my guy's going to be able to go and get it. And that's exactly what Noah did. And you talk about just hot and cooking with fish grease. I mean, they were dropping brim in that grease. They were dropping some catfish. They had some trout. They scaled the some redfish and put it on the grill for you a little bit. I mean, and so that's just the entree or what they had as far as he and Chris Olave, the connection, because it was – I probably had one pass to Chris Olave that wasn't an explosive play as far as over 10 yards. There was one check down that was maybe 7 or 8 yards. Everything else, I mean, I know he had 3 catches that were plus 15. I mean, and you, the one video, I can't remember exactly who it was, a big fuss of whether it was a catch or not. I'll tell you this, the officials ruled it a catch that were there. You can go back and look at it and say, well, it hit the ground. Yeah, the ball can technically hit the ground. The question is, can you control it? You don't have to have your hands up under it to be able to control it. Even if the nose of the football hits the ground, that is legal, as long as you're controlling it. But, hey, you know, that's an argument for we're arguing over a 20-yard catch. And so whether it's a catch or not, but I had, in my estimation, 9 for 9 as far as targets are concerned, and at least probably 120 yards with the tutty as well, with a touchdown. I mean, and so in the red zone, he did have a touchdown, kind of like a little short post or slant route that he was able to just catch it, get perfectly thrown pass where he could go and get it. And, you know, whether you get hit, he did get tackled on it, but he extended the ball away from the defender where he couldn't rake it out. And I just thought that was a really, really good job. Now, I will say this. Everything was not perfect for Tyler because there was one throw over the middle that he did force in the red zone to Chris Olave. And that was one that I thought he should have probably went on to the outside. Juwan had gotten inside leverage on his defender. And that was probably the throw. I don't know if he liked it. And that being Tyler early, just from the look, and the safety was just in the middle of the field. Ball was probably a little high to Chris anyway. And if Chris would have went up, he probably would have got dislodged just because the safety was in the middle of the field. That was one that I felt like Tyler forced. But outside of that, there were not many forces as far as throws were concerned.
Deuce, what are you expecting tomorrow with Saints-Rams? One of the things I'm intrigued about, man, the Rams, they got tight ends coming out the kazoo, both ways. And how the Saints match up, because I think the Rams are an intriguing team where they use so much 12 personnel, two tight ends, and 13 personnel, three tight ends. You're going to see that a lot. And that's one of the things I want to see, how well they match up from a coverage standpoint. And we all know the Rams run off of that a lot also. So to answer that question, and also what else are you looking for as the Saints go up against the Rams in the padded practice?
I wouldn't be surprised if you see some of maybe your starters. I know a lot of the starters have participated, but the way some of them have kind of left, we talked about Alvin. One guy we hadn't talked about was Quincy Riley, you know, left with the groin injury. Vele kind of got the veteran day yesterday. He's expected to go tomorrow. You didn't have Christian Miller. You didn't have Godchild. I don't know if those guys will go, but if I'm the Saints, I want my veterans to get some work. But I'm starting to pull back. I'm getting a little cautious with some of the work that I give, you know, a guy like Olave, a guy like even A-Chain, you know, Travis. I may be selective on some of the things that he does, you know, and that's probably the same way I know you talk about your star corner, you know, being able to go out there. Kool-Aid, I want you to go against Devontae. I don't know if Puka is going to go tomorrow. I know he's been banged up a little bit as well. So I'm probably, if I'm the Saints, this is me. You know, I don't know they're going to do what they do. But if it's me, I'm going to start pulling back some of those reps for those guys because I don't want them to kind of get banged up. And I need to be healthy as you get ready to head into the regular season. And I do know, hey, look, you still got, you know, two preseason games, and that's great. Yes. But for some of those guys, there's no question of, you know, a starter or two or however many, you know, 20 positions you feel really, really good about. And so I'm not going to lose one of those guys just for a practice, if so to speak. But, I mean, some work has to be done. How they divide that work, we'll kind of wait and see. But you're always looking, you know, from a coverage standpoint. You know, Blackman had another interception. That is something that he has done. He did it against him last year. Now, how much work does Matt Stafford get? We don't know. Kind of have to wait and see how much work that Matt does get. He didn't practice last year. He had the back injury against us. And so, you know, will it be a lot of Simpson? Will it be one of their other quarterbacks? You know, we'll have to just wait and see how that all unfolds. But, you know, we'll check it out, and we'll give you a great report on it as well.
Man, Julian Blackman, just stay healthy, brother, because that dude can play. And he can play at a high level.
He could definitely play at a high level. And, I mean, his ball skills, we probably haven't seen somebody like that since probably Williams was manning the middle of the field. And, I mean, with range when I say that. You know, obviously, you had Tyron back there as well. And Tyron, when he touched the ball, you knew he was going to catch it. That's the same way you feel about Julian as far as that is concerned. Anytime he touched it, you know he's going to catch it. And so you feel really, really good about that.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great to talk to you about Saints football, brother.
All right. Appreciate it, my friend.
All righty. Deuce McAllister from California, and they'll be giving updates tomorrow on the Saints padded practice sessions with the L.A. Rams. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.